Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, January 28th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time big book study group. Today we are reading from the big book. We're in the chapter Into Action. We're on page 85 and we're going to start with one paragraph today. Paragraph 3 that's at the bottom of that page and moves over to a bit of the top of page 86. One paragraph only today, paragraph 3. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Kim T, the 12 traditions, Shelley C. R, I think, or CK, I'm not sure. I can't read my own writing. And then the readers are KP, Kathleen O, and Sherry KB. The additional service positions will be Wendy B, gathering up newcomer information, sponsor contact phone numbers, and Leslie M for announcements. The reference number, we're going to call this a share ID number, for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting is 14030, 14030. That would be for Monday, January 27th, 2020. And then the meeting that happened this morning already at the 7 a.m. time, that share ID number is 14033, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting for Tuesday, January 28th. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our meeting is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Kim T. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Press star 1, please, Kim, and then we'll be able to hear you.
Okay, here I am, right? You can hear me.
Mm-hmm.
The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I pass.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. And now I will ask Sherry to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. This is Shelley C.R. With the 12 traditions, calling in from Minnesota. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for your service, and thanks for allowing me to serve as well.
Pat. Thank you, Shelley. Appreciate that. Okay, so let's see how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet, nice, clear recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. This request is for the star 1 key function only, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book and the chapter Into Action on page 85, clear down at the bottom. We're going to unpack paragraph 3 today, and it begins with step 11 suggests, then ends at the top of page 86 with valuable suggestions. And what I'd like to do is ask KP to kick us off this morning by reading that paragraph and unpacking it with how she applies those directions to her life today. Good morning, Kay.
Good morning. This is KP from Malden, South Carolina, gratefully recovered just for today. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. Well, I always considered myself close to my higher power, and I thought I prayed as I should, but now I know some things that I did not know before. This about shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. I think in a way I was shy. I thought that God had better things to do than be concerned about my compulsive eating. I mean, all we have to do is look at the news nowadays and know that there are big matters that need attention. I felt that I was just being selfish to pray. Help me not to do that. Help me not to overeat. And help me to do your will. But I realize now that that's exactly what I'm supposed to do. And that my higher power does care about things like my overeating. Better men than we are using it constantly. Well, if better women than I are using it constantly, then I need to do it too. I want to do it too. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. Well, I think that's absolutely true. You have to be in a place of willing to listen, and that's the meditation. I was taught years ago by a spiritual teacher that prayer is when I talk to my higher power. Meditation is when I shut up and listen. And for many years, I had problems shutting up and listen. I would just talk to God and then go on about my business. And now I realize that the second part of that, the meditation, is probably even more important than what I say. And it does absolutely work. It would be easy to be vague on this matter. I think it would have been very easy to be vague and for our sponsors and our teachers to just say, just pray about it. Because sometimes a person doesn't know how to pray. I've experienced that too. There was a time several years ago when I felt very disconnected with my higher power, and I felt like that my prayers didn't get any higher than the ceiling. And somebody who was being vague about that to teach me wouldn't have gotten me anywhere. I needed more specifics about it. And gratefully, I got just the right sponsor at just the right time in my life to guide me through that. And I have learned so much, and I am so grateful for that. I would not take anything for my recovery. The last sentence, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. Well, that's going to be coming up in the next paragraph, and I, for one, cannot wait for tomorrow to hear what everybody has to say about that. Thank you so much, everyone, for being a part of my recovery, and I will pass.
Thank you, KP. Thanks for getting us started today by opening up that discussion. The lines are now open for additional people to comment about their experience with Step 11. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, I can put you in a lineup.
Karen.
I hear Karen.
Patty.
Patty D.
Kara L.
I got you, Kara. I think I called you Karen instead. I got you, Kara. And I got Patty D.
Carrie.
Carrie then. Pedro.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Rachel P.
Okay, we'll take that. That'll be our lineup, our first go. So I have Kara L, Patty D, Carrie G, Pedro B, Kathleen O, and Rachel P. Hi, Kara.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And, oh boy, I needed this paragraph this morning. I was actually thinking, oh, should I sleep in and get extra sleep? You know, I'm dealing with a family emergency right now, and it's, you know, and I was just praying this morning and meditating this morning, and I had this realization that I can ask my higher power throughout the day what direction to take. I can ask for intuition and inspiration. I don't need to handle it. And, you know, that's different behavior for me because before I would take charge and just handle situations. And today I'm finding a comfort. I wrote up step 10. I've talked to somebody. I am going to, as the day goes on and I run into things, stop and ask for direction from a higher power, which is praying, and then take time to listen for that direction, which is meditating. And I can take those small little stops, pray, stop, meditate throughout the day. And it says here, it works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. And today I'm thankful that I've been practicing it because today when I really need it, it's a habit. I know how to do it. So I'm so grateful today and I look forward to hearing from everyone else. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara L. Patty D., you're next. And then Carrie G. will follow.
Hi, thanks, Melanie. Thank you for your service. This is Patty D., compulsive overeater in Matthews, North Carolina. I haven't shared for a while because, honestly, I've been struggling. I've relapsed a few times since Christmas and just starting over again this morning. And this paragraph really strikes me this morning because I realize how important it is to meditate and hear from my higher power, because when I have relapsed, it's because I'm not spiritually fit and I'm not meditating each morning and I'm not connected. And this morning, I made sure I had my 15-minute meditation, and it's just so empowering. And, you know, for me, my higher power is God, and God is so faithful to speak to me when I am willing to listen. And this morning, in my meditation, there was a proverb that was spoken about to meditate on, and it was so pertinent, and it was the appetite of the lazy craves and gets nothing, but the appetite of the diligent is abundantly supplied. And that just spoke to me because, you know, when I'm lazy and I don't meditate and don't connect, my cravings come back. But when I'm diligent about doing the steps and working, then all of my needs are supplied and I'm satisfied. And so it's just so clear. And I'm just working it today. So thank you for all being there. This meeting is so important to me. Thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty D. Carrie G, you're up next. Pedro, you'll follow.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Carrie G in Colorado. So gratefully recovered. Thank you, God. And I just want to thank all the members over the last few weeks. I keep hearing people say, if you haven't shared in a while, share in a while. And it's really been placed on my heart. And so I'm grateful to be able to share. This paragraph made me look up the word suggestions because we see it in the first sentence and the last word of the paragraph. And that's what my sponsor does with me. She doesn't tell me I need to do certain things. She just makes a suggestion, which is the definition, something that implies or indicates a certain fact or a situation. And it's actually the action of suggesting something. And here we are in our chapter, Into Action. And for me, I needed to hear somebody suggest, because if they're telling me what to do, I am so stubborn, especially when I'm into food. I want to just do it my way. And I think that what I'm going to do is going to get me better and get me recovered. And that never works. So taking the action of considering, contemplating in my heart, is this woman that's sponsoring me, does she sound sane? Does she sound happy? Does she have what I want? And she does. So I want what she has. I'm going to listen to that suggestion. It also talks about our proper attitude. I've been taught that I can have one attitude of no, thank you, I'm stubborn, or yes, I'm going to say yes. You want me to get a nutritionist? Okay, yes. You want that nutritionist to be face-to-face? Oh, yes, I'm going to do that. So I'm constantly using this program every day, and it is working. And so if you're struggling in the food, know this program, it really works if we work it. So thanks, Mel. I pass.
Thanks, Carrie. That's Carrie G. Pedro B., your 3 minutes start now. Kathleen, you'll come after Pedro.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's see. Good morning, everyone. Happy to be here, grateful and blessed. you know, this is a very important, I guess, to me, paragraph. You know, recently we had a 60 years celebration in LAX last weekend, and one of my mentors in the Vision for You had a session where it was called Living in Step 10, 11, and 12. And I found that to be very interesting. You know, when I first was introduced to a 12-step program, they suggest prayer, you know, from the beginning. You know, I came in here confused. And then when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was even more confused, sorry. Because, you know, I came in here practicing Buddhism. And Buddhism talked about Buddhist gods' functions that serve to protect us. And, you know, and then I was with this idea of God. And, you know, I'm so grateful that it is clear to me in my mind today the fact that God lives with me in one side and my self-will is on the other side. And, you know, to have a connect direction. Anyways, you know, it was suggested to me to pray, you know, and I did that to abstain from, you know, and then one of the biggest suggestions for me was that this idea of one day at a time. One day at a time. And here, you know, when they say definite value suggestion, they start about when we retire at night and when we awakening in the morning. So that suggests to me that I should pray on a daily basis, day and night, and through the day. So the other thing that struck me this morning is this idea of we are using it constantly. You know, better men than we are using it constantly. So this is, you know, this idea of on a daily basis, I need to connect with this power. Because like somebody pointed out on Monday, yesterday, on the spiritual experience, it pointed out that, that we need a sufficient
time.
Personality. All right, thank you very much. Yeah, that we need a sufficient. It says, upon careful reading, shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism. So that's what I'm working on, taking the steps so I can have a personality change so I can overcome, so I can recover from compulsive eating. Thank you, and have a great day, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Pedro B. Kathleen O., you're next. Rachel P., you'll follow Kathleen.
Good morning, everyone. It's Kathleen O. in Northern California. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. And, you know, by this time, after completing step 10, we're feeling closer to our higher power. So step 11 allows us to grow that relationship and to grow closer with our higher power. And the good news is there's no right or wrong way to do this. For me, the best time of the day is early morning. It's quiet. Everyone's still asleep, including my dogs, so there's no interruptions. And I just like that really quiet, dark time in the morning. And beginning the day in meditation really allows me to start the day on a positive note. So I'm careful not to pray for my own selfish needs. I always pray for health and happiness to my family and friends, that they're safe and protected. My morning prayer is pretty much the prayer on page 86 where I ask God to direct my thinking, divorce me from self-pity, dishonesty, selfishness, self-seeking, and fear. I ask God to inspire my thinking, my decisions, and intuitions, and to help me stay calm throughout the day. And I tell you, this really does work. This is my favorite step. It's the step that where I used to get ease and comfort from the food, I now get ease and comfort from this step, doing my prayer and meditation.
And, it can be done anytime throughout the day. If I'm feeling something, if I'm not feeling great, I will just kind of pause and take a couple minutes and go into some prayer and meditation and just kind of slow down my breathing. And, meditation can remove stress at its most basic level. And, if you picture Martin Luther King, he had a very stressful life. And if you think of a picture of him and guess how old he was when he died, he looked a lot older than he was. He was only 39 years old. And he led a very stressful life. So, meditation really does, it helps decrease the stress. I used to wake up and turn on the news in the morning, and I don't do that anymore. Why would I want to wake up and hear everything that's wrong in the world when I can really practice mindfulness? I can set my intentions for the day, to be kind and patient, loving and tolerating. So, and what I love about meditation, it really does have a reversal effect on biological aging. And it quiets the mind, brings a sense of peace and happiness. So every minute that we put into this is refunded back to us. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. Before we tap into Rachel's comments, I'd like to remind everybody that we are on page 85 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. The chapter is called Into Action. And we have just now opened up step 11 by reading one paragraph, which is paragraph 3 at the bottom of that page. Step 11 suggests, and into the top of 86 with valuable suggestions. We're going to continue with our sharing here with Rachel P., and then we'll open up the lines again. Hi, Rachel.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive reader in Denver, Colorado. I love prayer and meditation. I've heard that prayer is speaking to God, and meditation is listening to God. Sorry if you hear my cat. And I found that to be true in recovery. Before recovery, the only experience I had with prayer was as a child. I grew up religious, and we would pray in church, and we would pray every night. We used to go to church every Sunday. And as a family, we would pray every night. And then as I got older, my mom instructed me to pray at night before bed. And the extent of my prayers were, God, please do this for me. Please help me lose weight. Please make me skinny. Please help me get good grades. Help me find a boyfriend or whatever it was. It was a wish list oriented kind of prayer, and that didn't work. I knew even at 13 years old, by the time that I stopped that behavior, that that it wasn't working, that there was no connection there. And I expressed that to my mom before she died, that I don't feel like I'm praying to anyone when I pray at night. And she didn't really know what to say. And so it wasn't until like 15 years later that I came into program and started praying and using the prayers in the Big Book that I learned that, prayer is about what I can give, not what I can get. And that's just been so important for me. And kind of on an intellectual level, I can understand that prayer is like reinforcing the idea of the program over and over and over again. I say the Serenity Prayer and the Third Step Prayer and the Seventh Step Prayer multiple times throughout the day. The fear prayer, anywhere where it says ask in the Big Book is a prayer, and I can use those. And it's for me, like, this helps me to reinforce the ideas of the program, this altruistic way of being, this God-centeredness rather than this self-centeredness. But there's a difference between understanding it in my head versus understanding it in my heart. And I found that, it's okay if I'm understanding this in my head at first and not in my heart. But the more I take the action and do it, the more I pray and the more I meditate, the more that I speak to and listen to God, the more I feel it in my heart. That with that repeated action, I start to reap the benefits on a heart-centered level. And it's more about what I feel, not what I think. And it's a really beautiful thing. And then that's kind of the way in which this program that I've seen it work in my life. So thank you, and I will pass.
Thank you, Rachel P. The lines are open again for additional comments on paragraph 3, page 85. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, I can take a lineup.
Lisa
M.
Wendy B.
Lisa G. Karen B. Wendy. Did I hear Wendy?
You heard Courtney, maybe?
Yes. You heard Wendy.
I heard Wendy. Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. And then I got you now, Courtney. Thank you, Wendy.
Barbara E.
Did I hear, who did I, Elaine, did I hear you, Elaine?
Yep.
And did I hear Sandra? I'm not sure.
Yes. Thank you, Elaine.
I did. Okay, you're welcome. Okay, here's my lineup.
Barbara.
Lisa, Barbara, I'll see what we have time. I got a lineup of six, and I'm checking time. It may be a little bit tight, but that's okay.
I'm
Lisa G, Karen B, Wendy B, Courtney M, Elaine B, and Santa H. And then, Barbara, I'll put you at the tail to see how things go. Okay. All right. Lisa, your 3 minutes start now.
Hey, Melanie. It's Lisa G from Texas. And the reason why I want to share is I just really hope this will help somebody else because I'm not the best prayer or meditator, but there were a lot of things in the program, in all the steps that I wasn't good at and that I didn't understand, but I did them because my sponsor suggested the things to me. So quickly in my past, I felt that when I prayed, I mostly prayed for God to keep somebody in my family from dying. And every time it didn't work, they died. So I got to where I just didn't trust this God, even though I believed in this God and felt that I loved this God, but didn't trust this God. Now, that's a real tricky place to be for a person because it's very unstable. And so when I started in vision and started doing the steps, there were some things in there that that they talked about the higher power, but it was these very clear, concise steps. And so even though I didn't think it would work for me, I did it anyway. And lo and behold, it worked. So when we get to step 11, I'm still at a place in my life where I don't know how to pray and I don't know how to meditate, because what I was thinking in my mind of what that meant was, is that I pray to God and I hear his voice and I hear him and I see his miracles. And what I thought meditation was that God was going to, like I said before, I was going to hear that voice. Well, that's not the way it happens. So what I do, what we're going to find out also in the next paragraph, is I just do the suggestions and just to let you know, I still don't feel that. I don't feel it. And I'm actually sometimes really scared to pray because I think, well, gosh, if I pray for somebody to get well, they may just die, because that was my past. But you know what? I'm not going to worry about that. I'm just going to do what's suggested. I'm going to do the steps. And this one may be a little harder. It may take a little more time for my brain to readjust to what I expect. But I really believe that this is very important, to just realign my brain and my mind to trust God again. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So now we're looking for Taryn, Taryn B. And then Wendy B., you'll follow Taryn.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Taryn B. in Golden, Colorado, recovered for today by God's grace. Thank you so much, everyone, for your shares this morning and for your shares. I think I've been listening for like 6 years now, and I've actually never shared, but I just love this meeting, and I love learning so much from all of you, and God put it on my heart to share this morning. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it, and honestly, this is the only part of program that hasn't felt like work to me. Doing the writing, making the calls, doing service, going to meetings, none of that comes natural to me. I have to make myself do it. I have to work at the disciplines daily. But in all honesty, I crave prayer and meditation time. And I know part of the reason for that is because that it was already a habit prior to coming away. However, just as my relationship with God has grown so much deeper, because of program, the time I spend in the morning with God has become so much richer as well. And I love that time every morning. I really feel robbed if I oversleep. And it's pretty rare because I'll just set my alarm earlier and earlier to make sure I get that time. But I feel totally off if I miss that time in the morning. The first thing I do every morning is I get on my knees and I say this prayer. God, I pray that I would honor you with today by letting go of self-will, asking for the next right thought or action, being patient, tolerant, loving, and kind, serving others unconditionally, and trusting you in all things. And then I make my tea, I grab my big book and my journal, and I have a cozy spot by a window with a pretty view of the mountains. And I spend anywhere from 5 to 45 minutes, just depending on how much time I have. But it's truly, I think it really is my favorite time of the day. And I've talked to people who struggle with prayer and meditation time. And if that's the case, I suggest just doing whatever makes you feel close to your higher power. Like someone was saying earlier, I don't think there's any right or wrong way. So it might just be reading a devotional every day, or maybe it's just stretching and doing breath exercises. Maybe it's journaling. My journal is like letters to God. Maybe it's reciting a prayer that means something to you. Or for me, I like to write out the prayers in my own words. And I just don't think it needs to be forced. I don't think it needs to be like forcing yourself to sit there in agony for 30 minutes. Because as we grow in our relationship with God, we want to spend quiet, focused time with him, just like with a good friend. And I also have like big book prayers and other prayers that I've written that I try to remember to say throughout the day. And I do that most of the time. But there's time. For me, there's just no thank you, no substitute for the time I put aside in the morning. So thank you so much. And I pass.
Thank you, Karen B. Wendy B. And then Courtney M., you'll follow Wendy.
Hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And what stood out to me this morning was we shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. So, you know, to be shy on the matter of prayer would be to be not believing God cares enough about me to care about, you know, what I eat, you know. And to me, being shy is feeling not important, you know, unrecognized. And so the definition of shyness means feeling uncomfortable and self-conscious and nervous and bashful and timid and insecure. So people who can't tolerate the anxiety that comes with human interactions. And it also talks about being ego-driven in fear is part of the being shy. And so when I'm giving into doubt and not faith in my mind, I'm in self. And in order to connect with God, I need to, set aside my attitudes of my anxiety and my fear, and I need to come with an attitude of faith, you know, and I can just sit and relax and let go of the uncomfortableness of being in the silence, you know, and just open up my spirit to receive God's love, you know, to receive his free gift of a relationship with him. You know, that's what he wants, and he wants to give it to me, you know, and I need to come in faith, you know, believing and expecting that he's there listening. And, you know, and that it's not dependent on anything I do. It's his gift to me, and I get to just receive it. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy. Courtney M., you're next. And then Elaine B., you'll follow Courtney.
Good morning. This is Courtney M., recovering in Southwest Florida. I am out walking right now. I walk a lot. It's just a great stress reliever for me. And one of the things that happens when I walk, almost every single time, actually, that I take a walk, I find pennies. And I pick them up every single time. And on the front of a penny, it says, "In God we trust." And that, to me, is such a simple little prayer that I can remind myself throughout the day, that I just need to trust. And so, you know, I do my daily meditation, and there have been so many wonderful suggestions that people have said, shared so far on how they practice this. But that's such a simple practice, just picking up pennies and reminding yourself, I'm going to trust today. For today, I'm going to put myself out there in service and be willing to take guidance and take action on the guidance. And, you know, for me, that's really living in that 11th step, having that little connection. Just even something as simple as a penny reminds me I'm always connected if I'm willing to listen. And that's it for me today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Courtney. Elaine B., your 3 minutes are starting now. And Santa, you'll follow Elaine.
Thank you so much, Melanie C., for your service. And thank you, Higher Power, for this incredible book and these incredible instructions that have launched me into a whole new way of life and thinking about life. You know, at first, earlier in the steps, I really did think that even though I had a relationship with God, that it was going to be a flimsy read when I was going through the steps and going to be facing life in a whole other way without the food for ease and comfort. And, you know, but the big book talks about that we want to grow into a relationship with our Creator. And for me, that makes me think about, you mean, oh, okay, so all my wisdom, all my knowledge, all my access to internet friends, people, whatever, you know, all my experience that I used to direct the show in the past to figure out the answer to everything, to strap the world on and carry it on my shoulders. You mean I don't have to just trust and rely on that now? And no, it's not that I just don't have to. It's that I need to choose not to over and over again. So I get to take my little thimble full of everything I've got that I can bring or have access to and bring that right to the ocean of God's infinite wisdom, love, power, compassion, perseverance, patience, understanding, direction. And as I do that, then I'm rocketed into a fourth dimension and I can get help with every problem. I came in for the food and the great bait and switch. You know, the church called it and said, you know, the most important thing is to find out God wants to help me with all my problems today. So in order for God to help me with all my problems today, I need to bring my problems to a higher power in prayer, and then I need to listen to the responses. And there's something I learned about that the early OAs did, and they would just sit down for 10 minutes, and they would listen to God and write down whatever came to mind. And there were absolutes that they measured them by. They're like absolute honesty. Is it absolute love? Is it absolute purity? Is it absolute truth? These things. And, you know, you bounce them off somebody else if you're not so sure. But as I follow the dictates of my higher power, we're right back to page 100, Elaine's favorite paragraph. You know, if you follow the dictates of a higher power, and this is directed to both you and the new man, then you'll presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances are. So God can get me out of food. God can get me out of every and any jam if I pray, and if I listen, and if I do what I'm told. And if not, this lovely saying comes true. One day without God, God knows it. 2 days without God, you know it. You feel it. 3 days without God, everybody knows it. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elaine. Okay, let's see. We have Santa H. Yep, Santa H. You're going to follow there. Yeah, thanks.
Good morning, my fellows, and thank you to Teen Tuesday for your service. For me, the book says to suggest prayer and meditation. You know, for me today, I'm a hopeless compulsive overeater here. It's a must for me today. And I find for me that these instructions in Step 11 really clearly did identify for me what I am to do and say every day. Along with other affirmative prayers that I have. I have a tendency in the past to pray with I want type prayers, and that's selfishness. And we'll get to learn more about that when we continue on to Step 11. But today I find affirmative prayers work for me. I stick with the prayers in the big book. I do the set-aside prayer, the serenity prayer. On page 417, I have begun reading that as a prayer for me, calling it the acceptance prayer, and reading a few more pages along with that, something new I just started. pick back up again. It's not really new. And just following the dictates of what page 85 through 88 says for me to do, and reading it every day to be reminded of all the asks. And there are a lot of asks throughout this book, but I pay particular attention to the asks that we will be reading in this one. And when I don't know what to pray for, I just say, "Thy will, not mine, be done." And when I'm praying for others, I oftentimes say, "Thy will, not mine, be done." If I can, and then I'll look up for a affirmative prayer for them that I can send their way, because I don't know what's best for anybody else. I don't know what God is doing in anyone else's life for me to dictate to God what God should do or not do. So I'm very careful today of the prayers and the words and the prayers that I use. And for me, in terms of meditation, I used to sit down for an hour and spend that 1 hour with God. But to me, I find I'd rather spend time with God throughout the day. So my meditation could be while I'm washing the dishes and I can hear God speak back to me. It could be when I'm going for a walk. It can be when I'm on the treadmill and I have no music, no television on. I'm just in quiet mode when I'm on the treadmill or exercising. I can actually hear my higher power speak upon something that I may have done a fear inventory on. It happened yesterday. I did a fear inventory, and really God spoke to me later on that day, and I shared it with someone else that this is the reason why I have this fear. I went deeper because the answers came when it's time for them to come. I don't make them come. But I just find for me movement and meditation goes hand in hand for me, and I just have to quiet down the monkey chatter in my brain. Okay, I'll just wrap it up with this. And stay focused in the present moment, not think about the future or the past. I find that I'm in meditation mode at those times. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Melanie, for hearing me.
Thanks. You're welcome. You're welcome. Barbara E., I'm looking for Barbara E. There's about 2.5 minutes left. Are you still here with us?
I'm still here, and I'll talk as fast as I can. When I started going to OA, and it was over 2 decades ago, we said a lot of different prayers at the meetings, the first, the third, the seventh, some very religious prayers, the Lord's Prayer as well. I learned them all. I have a good memory, but they never traveled from my head to my heart. They were just words, so they were meaningless. And when I finished, almost finished with step 9, making my amends, those prayers started to have meaning for me. And now when I say them every day, and I do, and I say them before I get up, I really think about them. I still have trouble with the meditation part because I've got a hummingbird brain that tends to go off into all manner of things. But I take 5 deep breaths, close my eyes, preferably while I'm not driving, and I just try and clear my mind. And if it flirts back to, I've got to go to the supermarket or I've got to do the laundry, I just try and steer it back again. The prayers and the meditation mean so much more to me than they meant at the beginning, because I definitely did the 3-step waltz. I can't, he can't, I'll let him, and that's as far as I got. So if I want to succeed, I've got to take all 12 steps. I can't skip any of them along the way, and I've got to continue to work with others and do the best I can with my family, my friends, and my community. It is not a one-and-done deal. Unfortunately, I never get to graduate. I'm always learning, and that's what's keeping me going. Thank you for giving me this time. I pass.
Thank you, Barbara E. Appreciate that. And that ends the sharing part of our meeting here. We're going to wrap it up, and then we'll move on to saying the Serenity Prayer, and then the most important valuable newcomers and sponsor contact information as well. It kind of wraps this thing up. So stick with us to the end. I'd like to ask now if Kathleen O would please read from page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great things will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.